Oh, so much. It's the news, according to me. Good Tuesday morning. It is 8:36 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday, May 13th, 2025. And I am here in my home studio to tell you what I think about the news, because the news, according to me, and it's, but however, there's a way for you to respond now at 812-379-8778. No, I haven't even checked the messages. There could be some messages. I don't even know. I haven't even looked. Tells you how on top of things I am. Let's take a look. Let's take a look here. The messages. This isn't actually, this is settings. I don't want to go to settings. Okay, there we go. No, there's nothing on there yet. Who's going to be the next brave soul? The next brave soul to, leave a message. Nope, no messages. No messages. No messages. Nothing yet. So who knows who's going to be the brave soul, who's going to be the first person to leave a message. I know it's a new thing. A lot of people are way behind and listening to the show. I just watched the stats, and it looks like people don't always watch the show the same day. There are a few that do. There's several that jump on it right away, which is kind of surprising. And there's others that just, like today's show might be listened to completely by most listeners in the next 2 weeks. And I've only had the number for about a week, so I'm assuming at some point somebody's going to call in, leave a message. And of course, I'm going to take it and I'm going to edit it into something. I'm going to use AI to change your voice and ask some silly, stupid question. And you don't have to leave your name or anything. You don't have to do that. Just leave the message, and it'll just we'll just have a discussion. It's like a hotline kind of thing. Call in anytime, 24 hours a day, 24/7, 7 days a week, 30 whatever days in the month, and then 365 days unless it's a leap year of year. Anytime you want. I assume it'll stay there probably till a while after I even pass away. It'll probably still be there, but who knows? Probably have something different by then. In the next 10 years, who knows what's going to be out there? Just telelink it through your brain, Neuralink, brain link. We'll just all be joined with one thought. That's a scary thing, isn't it? All the information you get through the Neuralink, and it's just everybody's, look at the stuff that AI is putting out now. It's just more efficient way of brainwashing everybody. Anyway, I am your host here, Kevin. I have chai. This is the most important part of the show. I have chai with my special big train chai with Almond Joy Kramer, my favorite. Now, as my backup cup has been the one that's been the most interesting lately. We have a new store, a new restaurant in town. Fast food place called Popeyes. Most of you probably have heard of it. It's Popeyes Chicken. And you've got Chick-fil-A, you've got Raising Cane, you've got Popeyes, you've got there's another one. I can't think what it is. There's a couple of Popeyes in this area in our county here. We got one up on the north side of Elkhart, and there's one down here in Goshen now. This area. There finally is a Chick-fil-A in northern Elkhart. There's not one in the Goshen area, which there needs to be. And, of course, there's a couple of them in South Bend, Mishawaka area. Granger, whatever you want to call it. And so we're a little bit slim on the chicken here with Chick-fil-A. Michigan City now has a Chick-fil-A. It's now open, which is good. These are all places I hang out. And they probably have figured out that if they're going to sell a lot of sweet, I think their main goal is to sell a lot of sweet tea. I don't think chicken's a big thing. By the way, I went to Popeyes to get a large sweet tea, just to check it out, because I think they sell it by the gallon there. I was going to buy a gallon. I probably should just get one and try it out. I haven't had time to make my own gallon yet here at the house. So I was just going to try this. So I got it, and it's not as good as I had expected. It's In fact, I would say it's in that order. Chick-fil-A is kind of the gold standard for sweet tea, in my opinion. And then you've got Raising Cane has pretty good, actually pretty good sweet tea. At least the ones I've been to. Now, there's another one, it's not in this area. There's one down south that I've found. It's called Slim Chickens. And it actually has, they actually have very good sweet tea there. And it's, they have flavored sweet teas, which usually I'm not a big fan of. However, I tried their, they actually brew a peach tea. It's brewed sweet tea with the peach flavoring. And it usually peach flavored teas, typically if I drink too much of it, it gives, because of the kind of type of, I think they all use the same flavoring. Whatever it is in that flavor, a lot of artificial flavors give me a headache. Artificial sweeteners and artificial flavors typically will give me a headache. And it's not an immediate thing, but if I drink too much of it, if I drink it like a couple of times in a row, a couple of bottles or a couple, you know, if I start drinking it every day, I'll start noticing I get these headaches. Now, there's a, Slim Chickens isn't that way. They have, I don't know if they're using more of a natural flavoring or whatever they're using, but they have a raspberry and they also have a peach sweet tea, both of which are really good. And you can mix them. Because they got them in separate, you know, containers. You can just one of those tin things, you know. I've tried both, and they're both very good. Now, the peach tea is extremely good. I usually mix it half and half with regular sweet tea just because it's. I don't care for too much heavy peach tea. It's not bad on its own. It's not too heavy, like some of them are. But in the meantime, I have Raising Cane, I have Popeye's sweet tea here, and it's not bad. It actually has gotten better. When I first got it yesterday, I think maybe it was a little too strong because it had a lot of ice in it. That ice has melted now, and it's pretty decent now today, this morning. However, I don't have any ice in the cup right now. So maybe it would just get better with more ice. The more ice you put in there, the better it gets. I don't know. Might be one of those things. But call me and give me your opinion. 812-379-8778. And let me know what you think about tea. Sweet tea. Or let me know what you think about what I think about tea. Or I'll just tell you what I think about what you should think about what I think about tea, or whatever it is, however that works. So a couple of things. This is Topical Tuesday, of course, and we have a few things. I have a lot of topics to talk about. I was going to make a live show today, and it just did not work out. I've got a few things I need to get to, and obviously, it's supposed to rain this afternoon, and I got to get some things done hopefully before that because I got some big things coming up on Thursday. So tomorrow looks like the best day for me to have a live show in the morning. In fact, I am going to just double check that. I'm going to look at my calendar even as I speak here. It is trash day. However, I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb and say tomorrow's going to be the live show day, which is usually Wishy-Washy Wednesday. I'm hoping to have the Rumble ready to go, the Facebook page, the News According to Me Facebook page, live video audio as well on Podbean will be live on there, which I think goes out on Spotify, I believe. Might even go on Apple. I know the show, once it's concluded, I know it stays, it lives on Apple, but I don't know. I'm not sure what else is out there. So we have, that's the plan for tomorrow. But the plan for today, as promised, yesterday I was talking about how we're going to go over and analyze some voice things. The main one is Letitia James. Now, there's a couple other topics I want to talk about as well. The race war is a big deal. We're talking about that a little bit more this week, and it's I wouldn't say it's a racial racial war. Maybe a lot of people are starting to notice it. I'm catching a lot of other people are starting to actually a lot of the pundits, especially on the right, are starting to notice that what's happening here with racial issues around the country. of course, all stemming from the idea that Donald Trump is a white supremacist, racist, Hitler, Nazi, Stalinist, dictator, fascist, all the above. And therefore, anything he does is motivated by that. And of course, then when he comes out and says anything about helping a white person, of course, that just shows you that he's, you know, if he helps a black person, that's, you know, he's just pandering. If he helps a white person, well, there he goes. He's white. He's a white supremacist. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But one I want to talk about mostly is this Letitia James thing, because I think it's almost foundational into what we see happening on the left, especially among the, dare I say, certain minority ethnic groups on the left. They are continuing to parade themselves around as if they have all the facts, they have all the knowledge, they are the authorities, they are the ones who are understand and will share their expertise and tell you what to think. They literally, the way they give their opinions, they tell you what you should think. Now, that's supposed to be my job, because that's literally the name of my show, The News According to Me. I want to know what the news according to you is. I provide you with an opportunity. These shows on MSNBC, CNN, the biggest thing that you don't get with them is feedback. And of course, there's no way to talk back to these people, to make a comment, and other than their YouTube channel or possibly social media. You might be able to make a comment on there. The problem is, here's where they really mess it up for themselves. They screw up their own algorithms. They have bots. They have robots, which they're called bots in the ethosphere. What happens is you get these programs that actually follow you and automatically put comments into your comment feed. When they turn these bots on, when they turn these systems on, they will respond and they're programmed. It's basically a software program. So when you have a comment section on your video, you turn this bot on this thing. Now, if you read the comments, you can kind of tell everybody's kind of saying the same thing. It's all different people. It's all different. So what they do is they have all these memberships or all these people that are signed up on Google or whatever it is. They're all fake accounts. They're phony accounts. And they all say generally the same thing. Same comment, same kind of attitude towards what's going on. No, nothing negative. It's always positive. Always very much in line with carrying the water for the Democrat Party and all their talking points. And they'll plug in certain keywords and respond with these particular keywords, say these certain things. They can fill this thing in, and it just basically goes in and starts every 2 minutes or whatever it is. It will, or you can randomize it. You can, for every comment that someone else makes, it's natural, you get three more comments that are, you know, when any time. There's all kinds of parameters to make it look natural and make it look like it's you know, genuine. It's there's actual people behind it. There's nothing behind it. And they fool themselves by having that, because they think they're influencing society. People are going to read these comments. They're going to hear all these comments, and they're going to go along. They're expecting peer pressure, fear of being different. They use the going along with the crowd mentality until, you know, go along, you know, just fake it till you make it kind of thing. Get everybody to go along with this. and then, you know, eventually, you know, you win. You win the election, or you win the argument, because you've got everybody believing your lie. Now they think in their opinion, they think that they're out there, you know, persuading people into the truth. The truth typically will rise to the top. Eventually, you know, it always seems to come out in at some point, and it might be 50 years from now or 100 years from now, but it typically, now there's also revisionist history and all kinds of other things people do to change what actually happened, which that works for a while, but it doesn't work for that long. If you look at what happened 2,000 years ago, we are more aware and have more evidence today than we did 2,000 years ago about the events that happened on a cross. And it's interesting how more and more of that pervades our society with regard to the desire to manipulate information and even manipulate history, for that matter. Change the narrative. Spin and shadow. I spin and I shadow. That's what James Carville said. Oh, I might spin and I might shadow. Everybody does it. Everybody on the left does that. Some people on the right do that. Some independents do it. It's, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, I kind of expected her to cave on some things. She has literally, she was so burned by the Democrat Party and has been so well received, I think, from the Trump administration and the Republicans. I think she realizes, hey, this is the real deal. She is going, now, one of the things that, what's the guy's name? I can't think of his name. He's considered a kind of a more of a intellectual on the right. I can't think of his name right now. Older guy. I think he's a professor at some kind of college. He was talking about this in one of his videos. He said that he has like a podcast. They're typically too long. They're like an hour long. It's not Jordan Peterson. It's other guy. Hamilton or something like that. I wonder what his name is. I'll think of it. Anyway, I just like to give courtesy to people who know some of these thought people. He made this comment about he looked through all the different places where Trump is appointing people to be heads of agencies. So many of these people have been burned by the very agency that he's appointing these heads over. He's like, okay, you got burned really badly by the CIA. Okay, I'm going to put you in charge of the CIA. You got burned by whatever it was. Homeland Security, whatever it was. Look who targeted Tulsi Gabbard for a while. They had her on a special list. They were following her around. She was a candidate for president. She was all these other things. And a Democrat serving in the military, and they're following her around as if she's some kind of criminal. She's a Russian asset, we were told by certain powers that be, Hillary Clinton's. So they were afraid of her. Well, they put her on a list. So what does Trump do? He puts her in charge of it, of the very agency that was after her. There are people going down because of that. Oh, I think she's in charge of the... Is it National Intelligence Ministry? NIA, I think is what she's in charge of. Something like that. Which is the clearinghouse for all of the intelligence agencies. It's kind of the one place they're all plugged into. It's kind of a central storehouse of all the other agencies. I don't think they do anything themselves, but they accrue all the information. What do they call it? The warehouse, all the information. Now, it's of course the CIA director, all the other places that they're, you know, the FBI, all these different agencies are all agencies that are now being run by people who were burned by them. Very interesting that he would make those kinds of choices. And of course, I think it's brilliant in some ways. I don't know that it was his idea, but it definitely is a brilliant idea. So now we have, I want to get back to this Letitia James thing. Letitia James is the one who went after Donald Trump, ran for attorney general in the state of New York, ran as the attorney general on the platform of going after Trump. That was her whole thing. When she was asked about running for AG, she said, oh, all I have to do is, she goes, do you think people are actually going to get out and vote? All I have to do is, all I have to do is mention two words, Donald Trump. And this lady, oh, well, you sue him for us. Oh, I'm going to go after him. He's going to know who I am. Well, he knows who you are. But you live in his head 24/7. I mean, he lives in your head, Letitia, 24/7. Rent free. I guarantee you he's not thinking about you more than maybe 1 minute a day. His lawyers are probably thinking about you. There's probably some lawyers that are actually on that case. But I guarantee you, you're not a concern of his. So she won this huge, huge case. It was a $300-some million, almost $400 million case. I think it got reduced down to something else, less than half that. And of course, there's interest pending on that thing all every day. So the state of New York now is running this campaign to put out, to protect Letitia James, because the president's coming after her. Because she committed fraud. She committed bank and real estate fraud. The very two things that she went after him for, only she actually did it. There was actually people hurt in this process. She defrauded the bank. She got a better interest rate loan. Well, that means the bank's not making as much money as it was. Whereas in the bank's case, in Donald Trump's case, they made all their money. He made all the payments and paid everything back. And we're going to talk about how she is now coming out and speaking and what's actually happening here with what she's saying, because there's more. It's more than just the content of what she's saying. It's the way she's saying it. And I think it's important that we realize that. This is courtesy of Actual Justice Warrior channel on YouTube. I don't know if I'll be able to cut it off right away before she starts. But I want you to listen to what she says first, and then we're going to go back and we're going to listen to how she says it. And there's a couple of the statements she makes, a couple of the speeches she does. And I can't find the one that actually has the whole – I was going to put together the entire conglomeration of all the things she said in the last couple of weeks, because it's been really telling, everything I've picked up on. A lot of times I'll be gleaning through some videos late at night or early in the morning. I don't really have the potential or the facility to do a good job, you know, curating. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Curating all the information from the NIA, the putting all this together in a place where I can, you know, I can screen record this stuff. But then I've got to remember to put, you know, what that was about and put it back in the right place and get all this stuff curated so I can, you know, collage it all together. All these big words I'm using this morning. So that's kind of where it's at. But let's listen to what she has to say here. This is kind of one of her most recent speeches. And she's going off. We'll talk about it. Here she is.
You want me to sit in my seat and stand idly by and allow this craziness to happen? You could come after me if you want. But you elected me to stand up. You elected me to use the law. You elected me to go to court. You elected me to continue to challenge this administration. You elected me to stand up for the least of God's children. You elected me to continue fighting on. And I will fight on.
All right. She's got Al Sharpton behind her. She's got some other lady who's staring at her with her arms folded like, yeah, you say it. There's another, I think it's a man next to that lady, and she's kind of, that's a guy, I think. He, not sure. And he's just kind of clapping. He looks like he's kind of half out of it. Al Sharpton looks like he's staring off into the distance, just, I don't know what he's looking at. He's not sure how to respond. So let's break down here for a moment what she's saying. First of all, or I shouldn't say saying, she's yelling. And she's trying to rally up the crowd, gin up the crowd to get support. And at first, Al Sharpton, all these people sitting behind her were sitting down. At one point, they all start standing up. You know, because she's, you know, here she comes. This is the anointing coming on her now. And she's really, you know, preaching it now. She's really, really saying it. For the least of these. Just making some of these comments. She claims to be a believer. She claims to be, you know, she's doing this all in the name of God, because she's, you know, she wants to be governor of New York, is what she wants to be. She's made that very clear. It's not just attorney general. She's got higher ambitions than that. But let's go back and listen to this again. It's about 30 seconds. And this time we're going to speak maybe on some other issues. But I want to point out some things. There's a little places here that she says some things.
And you want me to sit in my seat and stand idly by and allow this craziness to happen?
Now listen to this.
You can come after me if you want.
Now, you notice, you can come after me if you want. She starts to do the aftergroan, which is typical in a lot of churches. You'll see pastors that starts to do this thing. Where this started, my understanding is it actually started with the Azusa Street Revival. It was a thing where preachers would start preaching, and they were under such tremendous weight of supposedly a weight of the Spirit that they would just to be able to speak was a challenge, and there was like there was this heaviness, and it was a kind of a good kind of heaviness, you know, if you want to put it that way. But there was just such a tremendous blanket. And just to be able to breathe and to speak was a strain, because they were so sensitive, so careful about what they said. So sensitive to the Spirit. And that's my understanding of where this came from. Paul didn't speak this way, as far as we know. There's nothing evidence in Scripture or any place else that they spoke this way back in, you know, because Paul carried a King James Bible. But he didn't speak this way. That's a joke for some of my King James only friends. We have, I come to think of it, I don't know that I have any King James only friends. But that's probably do. There's probably some people out there that are my friends who are King James only. That's fine. At least you got something. Just stick with that. It works. However, there's some issues there. But we won't get into that. That's a whole different podcast. Good idea. And so we have this weirdness in the way she's speaking. Now, she does this more in some other things. We'll be listening to some other things. But you hear us, there's a hint of it here. I'm going to go back to this just a little bit. I wish there was a way to just go back 10 seconds on this thing. But I think she's got it right here. I think this guy got it right here. I think.
If you want. But you elected me to stand.
She did it right there.
If you want. Come after me if you want. But you elected me to stand up.
Elected me to stand up. Now she starts getting into a little bit more, starts to become heavier and heavier. And now as she starts to speak here, we'll start to get more and more of this. And I've got to hand it to her. I don't think she's reading a speech. I don't think, unless there's a teleprompter off in the distance that I can't see. She looks like she's speaking from the heart here, which I give her credit on that one. It's more than a lot of politicians will do. These days, they just read off a paper. But this is the same rhetoric. I mean, she basically gives the same speech all over and over. It's the same thing she says every time. And her speech is getting more and more animated. But let's go on with this. Let's go back to this thing. Let's listen to the rest of it here.
If you want, but you elected me to stand up. You elected me to use the law. You elected me to go to court.
So they elected her to use the law, to go to court, to stand up. This is all stuff that, you know, is part of her job. That's what we always elect an attorney general to do, is to stand up. Yeah, we expect you to stand up. We expect you to sit down when you're tired. We expect you to lay down when you're really tired. And we expect you to eat when you're hungry. Probably not as much as you eat. But it's... We expect you to do all those things. We elected you, you know, because we expect you to go to court. Yeah, that's part of it. Attorney general, because you're an attorney general. You know, that's kind of expected. We expect you to, what are the other things there?
Elected me to use the law.
Use the law. Oh, there, yeah. Use the law. That's because, you know, that's your job, to use the law. Yeah, we expect, but don't yell at me about it. That's what we elected you for. Stop yelling at me.
You elected me to go to court.
Why is she yelling? What is the purpose of this? She's closing her eyes, yelling at the top of her lungs, and she's trying to include everyone in this as if they are all victims of the attack that Donald Trump is making on her, or as if she has saved them from the big bad orange man because she got this judgment against him. Where does that money go? It does not go, by the way, to anybody in that crowd. Well, yeah, it might go to some people in that crowd because there's probably some dirty laundry there. But it's not going to people, the general population, the general public, the people that supposedly the Democrats care about, the little guy, the disenfranchised, the ones who can't afford to get an ID so they can vote. Supposedly, that's a problem.
So, you elected me to continue to challenge this administration.
That's, okay. Did you really elect her to challenge the administration? I'm trying to think. In our state, I think our attorney general is actually appointed in our state. I'm not sure if it's. I don't think our state has an election for attorney general. I don't think. Maybe they do. I don't know. I probably just voted for it. I don't know. I probably just checked off the box. Anyway, whatever it was, I don't even know who our attorney general is. They don't come out making statements like this. They don't come out doing all kinds of crazy crap. We have, they deal with the state issues that we have in the attorney general of our state. Things that affect our state. They don't have a political bent. If Donald Trump had a hotel here in the state, they wouldn't go after him on a federal level, unless he did something wrong with the state within the state with that hotel. And they certainly wouldn't mess around with statute of limitations and try to screw around with that whole thing either. So there's just a whole lot of discrediting issues here. And of course, that's what she's up against right now, which is why she says the president's singling her out and challenging her. It's not the president. The president's not doing this to her, by the way. The president hasn't brought any charges against her. He hasn't lifted a hand or a finger in any of that. It is other people, some watchdog agencies, you want to call them that, some other agencies or some other people who have been burned by this particular attorney general as well. And they're seeing the corruptness in what's going on. They kind of were awakened by the whole thing. And they've also gone off to some other businesses in New York as well. And now it's at the point where there's a lot of businesses saying, it's just not a friendly place to do business anymore. They could just decide, just like Tesla. Tesla has major presence in New York, and we always pull out of New York. Just forget it. That's where you're going
to
be.
You elected me to stand up for the least of God's children.
The least of God's children. You elected me to stand up for the least of God's children. How exactly does that... How do you connect that to what she's done? How does anything that Donald Trump did in that lawsuit that they filed against him and supposedly won, which is being on appeal, how does that actually affect any of the least of God's children? How does that work? Are you talking about the people who work in the buildings where the Trump owns? Are you talking about the people who are, all the construction workers who built the thing, the people who service the building? Who are these least of these that you're trying to help here by destroying this whole thing?
Children, you elected me to continue fighting on.
Fighting on. Okay, again, platitudes, rhetoric, but you're screaming at the top of your lungs as if you're saying something intelligent. It's just that this does not, it sounds good, and you got these people behind her just, okay, Al Sharpton's kind of, he looks nervous to me. He looks like he's concerned about being associated with this lady. He's not even looking at her. Now, the other lady who's there is looking with this stern face with her arms crossed, and she's, you tell it, sister, kind of thing. That's her attitude. She's staring right at Letitia as she's saying all this. That's all theatrics. All this is theatrics. is all political theater. And she's not saying anything. Of course, nothing. She's not saying anything. There's no content to anything she's saying. You elected me to fight on. You elected me to stand up. You elected me to what exactly would elect you for? Fight on, stand up. Okay. Oh, yeah, those two things. That was on the ballot. Remember that.
And I will fight on.
Yeah. That. So again, listen to how she's saying it. She's screaming this stuff as if she's mad at the people she's speaking to. Now, if you could see her body language, you could see everything she's doing as well, you'd realize this lady is in a full panic mode. This is someone who's drowning. This is not coherent. Articulated points. This is very scattered rhetoric, hyperbole. This is nothing but panic. If I had to direct you, if you were doing a voiceover for me, and I had to direct you, and I'd say, scream this as if you're panicking, as if something's, as if your house is on fire and you got to get your baby out, and you're starting to panic. That's what you're hearing here. It is the fringe of that. I'm not saying it's full-blown panic. I'm saying it is the underlying motivation for how she's speaking, not what she's saying. But she doesn't have anything to say, so she's just these are baseless claims. These are baseless, all those kind of false, baseless stuff. Now here's a particular. So I just want to play this because it's pretty interesting. I think it's right here. Some guy challenges her. She's speaking someplace else in New York, and this is going to burn out pretty quickly because people are going to get pretty tired of it. But here she is talking to some group again. It's a different group, different background, but she's saying the same things. Let's see if we can. I didn't want that on there. Let's go.
This is for Tush James. Will you apologize to President Trump for wasting millions of dollars and the state of New York for a witch trial? And how does it feel to know that you will be in prison for mortgage fraud?
Now this guy asks this question, and now he's videoing the crowd, walks up, asks this question, then he knows security's coming for him. He just starts walking out. They don't even have to lay a hand on him. He just starts walking out of the room. he's videoing the whole thing on his phone. Of course, there's people shouting and screaming about the whole thing. And of course, they're going out. He's picking up
his
stuff, and he's walking out the door.
We want to thank him for coming. We respect all opinions. Everybody knows those allegations are baseless.
Those allegations are baseless. Again, with the struggle speech. And again, everybody knows those allegations. When people start saying things like, everybody knows that. Everybody. Think about what you're saying. Now, sometimes it's just rhetorical, but sometimes it's actually a wishful thinking. When people start to say these kinds of things like, well, everybody knows that it's this way. Some people don't know that. Most people, when you say most people, or I believe most people understand this, or maybe we need to clarify this and make sure everybody understands. When you start saying things like everybody knows, everybody does it this way, everybody does it. No, I might trade and I might spin. Everybody does it. Oh, really? Everybody does it. Everybody in your world, in your worldview, and everybody within you say everybody does it because you're trying to justify the fact that you do it. And by spin and shade, you mean twist the truth and cover things up. Not reveal the whole story. That's what you mean by spin and shade. And you know it's wrong because you're not giving people the whole story. or you're putting your twist on the truth. That's the way, that's what that stuff is. And so this is this very same thing. So she's going to this whole thing. Now this is, by the way, this is again, Actual Justice Warrior channel. There's another one little other video clip here I want to play. I think it's right around here somewhere, where she says something. She's at another thing. This looks like she's at a church, actually, at this point. I'm not sure where she's at, but it definitely looks like a church. And she's getting ready to speak here. She's standing up with just a microphone. No notes, no nothing. Again, got to hand it to her. At least she's doing that. Most politicians have to have notes. But when you start to look at the content of what she's saying, there's no content. It's very easy to get up and say the same thing over and over again when it's just rhetoric. And yet there's no content. There's no, you know, let me give you facts. Let me give you this. Let me give you that. There's nothing of that. Nothing, no dates, times, you know, anything. That's like that. This is definitely a church. It's got to be a church.
Full interest like developers. I've taken on legislators. I've taken on landlords. I've taken on powerful interest in the city of New York because I believe in a good fight. And right now, what we need is someone who understands that you should.
Now, she's running for office, and this is her campaign because she's coming up again. She has to be reelected. If she loses this election, by the way, she will be in really deep doo-doo. She won't be able to. She'll be powerless, other than the fact that the state will still continue to fund her legal issues because she has to file for all this legal assistance, and she's doing that because they just passed a bill in New York that passes this slush fund, which enables her to pay for her legal issues if anybody comes after her with personally, and that's what they're going to have to do. So the state is not going to pay for the taxpayer is going to pay for this.
Not be afraid
because you know they're looking out for the little guy. They're looking out for the little guy. All right, here we go.
I've taken on legislators. I've taken on landlords. I've taken on powerful interest in the city of New York because I believe in a good fight. And right now, what
I
we
need
is someone
fight.
Who understands that you should not be afraid, not be fearful of Donald Trump. We should take him down. We should sue him all the way to bankruptcy. We should investigate his business interests. We should investigate his business holdings. We should investigate whether or not why he was once in debt and now in a position to purchase all of this property. We can do that because I've been trained to do that.
No, you can't do that, actually. There's no crime. There's no probable cause of a crime there. This looks suspicious. He was in debt and now he's buying all this property. Well, if that's a crime, if that's suspicion of a crime, probable cause for a crime, you need to look at Barack Obama. You need to look at Bill Clinton. You need to look at all these individuals who somehow went through, you know, came from poverty practically, according to them, and are now worth tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars on a salary that has nothing to do with that kind of making that kind of money. Owning multiple million-dollar homes with a portfolio that's ridiculously large. How does that happen? Well, speaking engagements, they get paid for speaking. Yeah, right. Yeah, there again, money laundering. Well, artwork. I painted a picture and somebody gave me, you know, $3 million for it. Yeah, it's the only painting you've ever painted, and all of a sudden it's worth $3 million. It's amazing. So let's go back here just a second.
We should investigate his business holdings. We should investigate whether or not why he was once in debt and now in a position to purchase all of this property. We can do that because I've been trained to do that, and I will do that at the.
We can do that, and I will do that because I've been trained to do that. Now, one of the other things about her speech pattern, I just want to talk about this again. When someone starts to use a lot of P words and they do a lot of this, I'm over exaggerating it just so you understand what I'm saying. When they push the P words out, and it's push the P words. It's almost a buzzing of the lips that they do when they're saying the P's or B's in words. There's a couple other letters, a couple other words that people will do that with as well. And sometimes they'll growl a little bit with it. That again is a sign of self-protection or almost panic. It is they're pushing the words out faster than their lips can say it. And the other thing a person will do, and we'll talk about this a little bit more with Ilhan Omar, I'm probably not going to have time to get into that today. That the Ilhan Omar will use certain well and she'll do that a lot. It's a stammer. She doesn't use it when she knows what she's talking about, or when she wants to say something, you know, very pointed, or she has a moment where she has, you know, she's cogent. What happens with her is she's in a conversation. People think that makes them sound intelligent. They literally do. They think that makes them sound smart. Now, it'll happen in normal conversation. When it's natural, you can tell. In fact, you won't even notice it when it's natural. People do it all the time. I do it a lot. When it's not natural, when they're fishing for something, when they're trying to make themselves sound more intelligent, trying to add a certain air of sophistication to what they're saying, what it is they use fill words, the and the and the they keep going on with that's a fill word because they don't want someone else. They want to plow through the conversation, not give you an opportunity to say anything. Because if they pause and wait for a word, there's always this opportunity for someone else to say something in the middle of that. So they have to jump in to fill the air with some kind of sound to keep you from saying anything, keep anybody else from filling in. Even when they're speaking from a microphone, from a platform, where they're not discussing anything with anybody. They're just talking. That's when it's even worse, because there's nobody to talk back to you. And then somebody might respond from the crowd, maybe get a heckler or something like that. But it's typically someone who's insecure in what they're saying, first of all. And they're just trying to make it sound like they're more intelligent than they are.
At the same time, knowing the Office of Attorney General and its powers and its responsibilities and its duties. My name is Letitia James, and I plan on being the next Attorney General of the state of New York.
So she's running. This is a debate between candidates, I believe. That's what it is. Would have loved to have heard some of the other candidates, probably not going after her at all. But she's up there. Great job. I mean, as far as not using... she doesn't have any notes. She's not reading a script. She's not reading a speech here. That's good. At the same time, what is she really saying? Now she's trying to include everyone. Every time she does a speech, though, she tries to include everyone in that speech. And this is kind of an interesting part of the rhetoric that we get with some of the things she says. And this is what is really very troubling. And there was a whole bunch of other stuff I wanted to talk about today, especially this whole thing about the race war. But we'll talk about more about that because there's... Donald Trump has just recently, he came out with this thing about having 50, I think it's 54, not 5,400, not 54,000, not 54 million, not 5 million, not 5.4 million. 54 refugees, who are farmers in South Africa. Now they're calling them Afrikaners. They're Afrikaners. They're not Africans. They're Afrikaners. Break that down and see see what they're actually saying there. Afrikaners. They're being murdered. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a genocide, but it's definitely ethnic cleansing. And it's official. The government itself is supporting, and they're not going after anybody who's killing these farmers. There are hundreds of them that have been killed. Hundreds, if not thousands, of farmers who've been killed and their land has been stolen from them, and the government's doing nothing about it. In fact, there's a particular party, political party in South Africa that is promoting it. One of the candidates, in fact, one of the people, I think he's actually in office of some kind in South Africa, who is talking about the killing of white people, the offing of them, the elimination of white people in their country. Unaliving people, because you can't say killing. Apparently that demonetizes you. So there you go. I just lost all my monetization, just gone. They kill them. They're openly promoting this. Well, we're not talking about it right now, but it's not off the table, basically is what they're saying. But this is how this stuff, and yet, they're not, you'd think that the news media would be talking about that part of it. No, They're talking about this racist president we have who's allowing in these white people because they're white. While we're kicking out brown people, we're letting in these white people. They're truly needing asylum. They're killing them. It's not an economic thing. They're not coming into the, they didn't come into the country illegally. They were offered asylum. And one of the things that this, and we'll be talking about that more tomorrow on the live show. And the rhetoric that's being said, because MSNBC has said some things. They got this panel and they're saying some things. Everything these people talk about, everything is about race or gender. Everything. And they pretend like they're sticking up for race and sticking up for gender equality. They're not. It's all about racism and misogyny. And they don't see it that way. They're so blinded by it that they don't understand it. They think that they're trying to be compassionate with this whole thing, that they have a social justice mission that they're on. It's not at all what they're doing. They're doing the opposite. And by accusing this president, this administration, everybody in his administration, anybody who voted for the guy, you're a racist, you're a white supremacist, you're a Nazi, you're a fascist, and you all should be eliminated from society, you all should be censored, you all should be in prison, you all should be eliminated. That's really the generalization of where they're all at. At least the radical leftists are there. They're already there. They would have no problem with deporting Donald Trump without due process. They would have no problem because he's the one who's been doing it to everybody else, so he deserves it. Oh, so all of a sudden the standards change. There's no principles. It's never about principle with these people. It's always about how they feel about racial issues, and they decide how they're going to feel. They decide. They just make that very clear up front. 54 farmers, and their heads are exploding because they're white farmers. President Trump came out and made some comments about how these people will assimilate very easily to our country because they're not a security risk. They're farmers. They speak English. They're honest, hardworking people, and we're inviting them in. They're not coming across the border illegally. And he's basically making the statement that they'll assimilate very easily here to our culture. Because they basically have a European-style cult. They're basically westernized. They're not some Middle Eastern group of people who are going to have a hard time, assimilating into our culture. They're not going to, I guarantee you, they won't cost our taxpayers much of anything at all. These are very productive, very hardworking individuals. Well, so are the people who clean toilets and Stephen Miller just recently blew away Jake Tapper. Well, what about the crops? The price of our food's going to go up if we start deporting all these people who are picking our crops. And again, they're talking about the slave labor, the cheap labor that we have, that we hire, that we exploit these people for their, because they're here illegally, so they'll work for less money. They don't even think about what they're saying here. And Stephen Miller puts him on the spot about all that. And then he says, you know what? Only 1% of the people who come across the border illegally are working in fields, are working in agriculture. Many more of them, the highest percentage of them, are going to big cities where they're living on welfare. And they're committing all kinds of crimes and doing things under the table, doing all kinds of things in the dark. Incredible that they are. Don't even realize what they're saying when they say this kind of stuff. 1%. And yet they'd make it sound like, oh, there's nobody's going to pick our crops. There's a guest worker program, first of all. You can come up, you can migrate. They've had guest worker programs since I was a kid. I don't know when it started, but it's been around for a long time. People have been coming across the border. They migrate in. They do crop picking. They do whatever. And they go back to South again. When they come up, make the money, and they go back. Migrant workers. And we've had a program in place for those people to do that kind of thing. And it's fair. It's equal. They pay taxes. They're on the system. We know who they are. But no, that's not what they want. They just want open borders. Anybody comes across, and of course, that's who we're going to have to pick our cotton for us. Because otherwise, who knows who's going to pick our cotton? That's their mentality. That's their attitude. Well, folks, I apologize that I've taken so long on this particular Letitia James thing. I only got about halfway through some of the things she said. She made some other comments and some other speeches that were very, very obvious. This is a woman in panic. And it's amazing to me how the state officials are coming together, funding her defense and going out, because, you know, they stand to make a, you know, I'm sure everybody's going to make their little slice of the pie if they're trying to bankrupt Donald Trump. They're going after an individual, just targeting an individual and going after him because they don't like him politically. And then when she gets found out about some of the things she's done, oh, they're attacking her political, they're attacking their political opponents. He's attacking his political opponents. He's the evil one here. Unbelievable. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. See ya. Call now.